Mercy and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So not only donuts, but soup. Just be careful when you get to the stone part. It's a little hard on the teeth, I understand. One of the quandaries in life is knowledge. Because the more we know, the more we learn. And the more we learn, the more we know that there's stuff that we need to know because we haven't learned enough. It's really kind of a vicious circle if you think about it, because if you take the acquisition of knowledge and understanding seriously, what you find is learning things and knowing things just tells you that there's a lot of things that you really don't know at all. And so then you need to know even more. And so you kind of get stuck in this cycle sometimes of learning how things take place by really having to study and research different things. Some of them are big things that we learn. Some of them are little inconsequential things. Of the inconsequential nature, the one thing I learned came because I heard that Columbia House Records has declared bankruptcy. Now, those of you who are old enough will remember probably taping a penny to a piece of paper and selecting your 12 favorite long play albums to be delivered to your house. And it was such a deal. You couldn't pass it up. And so you'd tape that penny down, you'd make the list, and you'd get your records, and you'd be filled with joy and filled with music, and then you'd get a little booklet in the mail soon after that, informing you that you were now obligated to purchase, I believe, an additional 12 records at a price that was a little bit higher than what you could get at the record store. Because there used to be this place called a record store that you would go to that actually had records. Before you could poke things on a computer and have music to come out, this is how you had to do it. And you had to do that because if you didn't, they would send you records that you did not want to have. Something along the line of Jimmy Sturr and the favorite polka tunes of 1933. So you were kind of obligated to be able to do that, and if you didn't keep up with that, they would come after you to be able to make the difference. But the thing I never understood was 12 records for free. Now, how on earth could that be something you'd make a profit off of? Because the records you were buying weren't that much more than the records in the record store. And yet in the mid-80s, this company had a value of over $1.5 billion. So something was working. What I discovered was, since the records were considered to be giveaways, they did not have to pay the artist any royalties whatsoever. And they made all of their own records. So basically, at the cost of you buying one record from them, recouped all of their losses because it cost them pennies on the dollar to be able to give you those 12 records. But as things progressed, they went from records to CDs, and then when the digital age really kicked in, there was no way they could keep up with what people were doing online, and so now their last gasp effort was to do the same thing with DVDs. And now it's all just kind of frittered away. The silly things that you need to know. Because when you don't understand something, and it bothers you a little bit, sometimes you go and you learn just so you can understand a little bit better. It would have been nice if those 5,000 people on the hillside had the opportunity to go online and figure out exactly what in the world Jesus was talking about. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. Apart from it sounding horribly ghoulish, there is that sense within the Jewish community that that's just a forbidden thing. You don't do that. You're not allowed to even be around somebody else's blood because it was considered unclean, let alone drink somebody's blood. You know, we have the advantage of being some 2,000 years removed, going through the rendition and understanding of the Last Supper, the events of Good Friday and the resurrection. And so we look at those things and we can put it into a context and say, well, of course, he's talking about communion. He's talking about his presence in the bread and the wine. He's talking about that whole understanding of when we commune with all the body of Christ, and we come back to that day that they celebrated together, that Last Supper. That day that invites us to be part of that collection of the 12. That day that allows us to be truly one of Jesus' disciples and puts us in line for the sense of being able to truly live as people who have received salvation through the body and blood, the death and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We know that. They didn't. Which makes me think that Jesus really wouldn't have been a very good pastor. He might have done pastoral care really well, much better than I could ever do pastoral care, because Jesus could walk into the hospital and say, okay, here, you're healed, go home, everything's fine. Everybody would love that kind of pastor. But there is a certain sense of reality in terms of being a pastor, that there is the necessity, to a certain extent, to give the people what they want. Jesus wasn't very good at that. Here he has a congregation of 5,000 people right there for the ready. That's called a mega congregation, by the way we rate things. And so he could have done wonderful, wonderful things. But you got to talk to the people in something they understand. You can't talk in riddles. You can't talk about things that don't make any sense. You can't make things difficult. You can make things easy. See, there's a business concept that's called AIS, and it has to do with filling seats. In the church world, we call it HIS, hiney in seat. Because that's important, isn't it? You don't want to have a church that's empty. You want to have a church that's full. Why do you want to have a church that's full? Well, you have a church that's full because there's the understanding that all those people sitting in the seats are going to reach in their pockets sometime and gratefully give back to God some of what God has blessed them with through their offerings. So the more people, the more money. The more money, the more things you can do. You can pay the bills. You can have bigger ministries. You can do all kinds of nice things to be able to help the world. And so it's important to have that taken care of. But you can't take care of it if people are offended or confused, because they won't have their hiney in the seat. And then you have problems. Joel Osteen puts hineys in seats. He has the former Houston Rocket Arena, which I believe seats around 20,000, and he fills it up pretty well. I believe the reason why Joel fills it up pretty well, apart from his charismatic way, is the fact that he tells people things they want to hear. He gives them the gospel in terms of how the gospel is going to benefit them. It's called the prosperity gospel in terms of, hey, if you give me money, God's going to bless you. And so you say, hey, well, I haven't been blessed. I gave you money. And Joel will say, well, you haven't given me enough money yet because God will bless you. And then when you get blessed, you say, oh, look, I've given Joel enough money now because I've been blessed. So I understand how this works. And Joel will let you know that you're going to get things from God. That's the benefit. God's going to give you something. So we're hearing things that we want to hear. We don't want to hear about the things that we need to do. We don't want to talk about sacrifice. We don't want to talk about going out and taking care of all those people that we need to take care of. The sick, the poor, the homeless. We want to know what God is going to do for us. And from the perspective of Heinean Seat, Joel Osteen is a fantastic pastor. Because he gets the job done. And there is a certain reality in all congregations that that is a valid measure. Because we want to pay the bills, we want to be able to do things, we want to be able to have ministries, we want to show that we're a successful congregation, and that is measured somewhat by not having empty seats. And so from that perspective, I don't think Jesus did a very good job. Because he made people do things they didn't want to do on their own. He talked about things in a perspective, in a way that didn't always make sense because he was foreshadowing things to come later on down the line that those people sitting there at that moment did not understand. But Jesus was a fantastic pastor from the perspective of the 21st century. Because we're allowed to understand things that those 5,000 people didn't have a clue what was going on. And we'll find out next week that because they couldn't figure out what was going on, they weren't going to stick around. But we stick around. We stick around because we have an understanding of what Jesus Christ has given us through his life, death, and resurrection. We understand more clearly than those people did in terms of the power that exists with God's presence through that body and blood of Jesus Christ that we share in communion each week here. And not just sharing with ourselves, but sharing with the community of faith around the world. Each and every time one of us communes, we commune with Christ. We commune with those 12 disciples, Judas included. And I think it's really, really important for us to understand of Judas' presence at that Last Supper. Because he is, as much as Peter was, a reflection of who we are. People in need of forgiveness. People in need of that healing that's found within the presence of Christ within our lives. Because it is within that bread and wine that we have that healing presence of Christ that is offered to us each and every Sunday. To be able to restore us, to be able to heal us, to be able to forgive us, to be able to make us whole, to be able to make us feel part of this community in which we live. Not just the community of Living Water, not just the community of the ELCA, but the community of Christ each and every place across this globe. Because it is through that body and blood that Christ's presence is there with us, healing us and touching us, filling us with his grace, encouraging us to be able to move on each and every day to do those things that we've been called to do. Those difficult things that God calls us to do. The things that take us out of our comfortable lives and move us into places that we might not go on our own. Using our resources to be able to do things for all of God's children. To heal the sick. To be able to work with those who need shelter. To give clothing to those who are naked. Food to those who are hungry. And in this area, at this time, water to those who are thirsty. Through what God gives us in the life, death, and resurrection of his Son that allows us to be able to step out of this world and to do so many things. When we take on those challenges and understand the blessings that we have received. Because in a blessing that God has placed within our lives is not a call just to simply envelop it and hold it and keep it for ourselves, but rather it is the call to be able to take that blessing and to share it with the world around us. To be able to do what we can to make a difference here in this place. Even if it is just touching the life of one person, we have changed the world for somebody. And we are called to do that each and every day of our lives, to be able to take those blessings that God has placed within us and to be able to go outside of this place and understand that God has fitted us with what we need to be able to be His messengers of salvation, His messengers of hope, His messengers of love through what He has blessed us with and the gift of His Son. And so when we do eat of that bread and drink of that cup, we are sharing with what took place over 2,000 years ago. Sharing in this gift of salvation that comes through His life, death, and resurrection, through His very flesh and blood, enabling us to do miraculous things, empowering us to go to places we never conceived that we could go, accomplishing goals we never thought were possible. But most of all, being seen and understood and embraced truly as God's children. When we take that seriously and understand that God has blessed us, we can go out into this world and do all those things.